McDonald to deep left field. Hamilton back at the wall. Off the wall! Welcome to Boston, Darnell McDonald, the Red Sox newest hero.
Driven to deep left center. Way back and gone. First as a Cub for Darnell McDonald.
So imagine if we could focus on the baseball or focus on anything that we're doing. That's a superpower. So this is a superpower that we have. We can develop this skill of being present, being in the moment.
High drive, deep left. He's got another deep far and very gone. Darnell McDonald takes him out of the yard, and the Red Sox lead it 1-0.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Calm is a Superpower, episode number 2, with your hosts Jack and D-Mac, a baseball podcast presented by Setyaya Sport, SVA for short. At SVA Sport, our hope is to be your antidote to anxiety, doubt, and restlessness. We meet you on your journey and support you as you learn how to lean into your mind and find an oasis from the pressures of everyday life. Reflect inwards. Find yourself. It is episode number 2, like I said, of Calm is a Superpower. I'm your host, Jack O'Hara, alongside Darnell McDonald. We got a special treat for you today via Zoom. He is a current free agent in Major League Baseball. He is a professional pitcher. He pitched for the Oakland Athletics, San Diego Padres, Texas Rangers, St. Louis Cardinals, and most recently the Detroit Tigers, and was drafted by the Oakland A's in the second round of the 2008 Major League Baseball draft. He was a member of the 2014 Major League Baseball All-Star Game as a member of the San Diego Padres, and like I said, training for his return here in 2022. Currently a free agent, starting pitcher, right-handed pitcher, Tyson Ross. Enjoy, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that where you're living these days?
Yeah, I live in the Bay Area. I'm in Palm Springs right now for a few days, but
NorCal in Palm Springs.
Took the wife down here to Coachella, actually.
Oh, really?
First time ever being able to have time to go do it. So we're like, fuck it, why not?
Are you actively like looking to sign with the team, or are you just enjoying the ride?
I'm going to finish the semester. I'm going back to school at Cal. So I'm going to finish the semester. I think finals are middle of May, and I'm like ramping up right now on the mound. So end of May, going to try and throw for some scouts, see if there's any interest. Get back out there.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what kind of kicked the idea of going back to school? Was that always something that you wanted to do?
It was something I wanted to do. And after opting out of 20 and then last spring, 2021, I was in camp with the Rangers, got cut, worked out all summer and, threw for a couple scouts, didn't get signed. And it was kind of at this weird junction where I was like, okay, am I going to go into an off season having not played all year and just, wait for 4 months? Or, I had my wife was pregnant. I wasn't going to go play winter ball somewhere because I had a 2-year-old too. So I was like, I'm not going to leave my family behind for 3 months right now. So I was like, let me do something productive. And, I had my loyal to my soil stuff going. And then I also was like, I got time. I've been taking online classes the previous 2 years. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to just go back to school. Because at Berkeley, you got to do it on campus anyway. So it was the first time I was actually around for the start of the semester. So I was like, oh, let me just knock this out real quick. Yeah, it's been an adjustment.
Commitment, man.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Darnell, would you ever go back to school?
Hell no.
I was going to say, I don't think
you... Yeah, you never started, bro.
I never started. My school is life. School or hard knocks.
That's the best kind of learning right there, man.
And yeah, you never like, there's no graduation. It just keeps going.
Was that like even like, cause you were what, drafted right out of high school?
Drafted out of high school, 1997, thrown right into the real world. Go get them, buddy.
Hitting over 600, that's what happens.
667, we'll just say 7.
But my bad.
No failure, go to pro ball, lots of failure, go get them.
But you were right up there too, Tyson, weren't you, when hitting like what, like 500 in high school? Like it was.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even pay attention to stats in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, Tyson.
You can look it up somewhere, but I don't. I wasn't really paying attention to it. My league was a joke. We had two fields that had fences, and then a bunch of scrub teams with, you know, just public schools out in the Bay Area.
Well, that's always fun when there's no fences and you're just chasing one after like a guy who's hitting 750 just breaks one in the center field. Let's see what Wikipedia says.
Got the so you guys were hitting little league homers then? Just
oh yeah.
Keep rounding. I know a guy in the Rays game.
We
had a little league homer.
Bro, that ball hit the mound. Did you see that?
Come on. It hit the mound and then went out the center?
It was like he smoked it. It was a ground ball up the middle. Hit off the side of the mound. Left fielder came over, tried to do some Superman play, kicked it past the center fielder. Yeah, it was a ground ball.
Yes.
I've never seen a ground ball little league homer before. In the big leagues, normally it's a ball in the gap. The guy slams against the wall, falls down.
Right,
you know, this is a ground ball.
That's hilarious. So
you got past the pitcher, the shortstop, the left fielder, and the center fielder.
You don't need launch angle then.
No.
So I'm curious about. Okay, so were you recruited out of high school then?
For college or pro?
College.
Yeah.
And growing up, what sports did you play? Like, what was your trajectory from little league to pro ball?
I played everything, you know, youth soccer growing up, youth basketball. I was terrible at basketball. I didn't know anything about the game. I just loved to go out there and shoot and, you know, watch Space Jam and think I could dunk. And so, you know, it's like a middle schooler thinking I could jump from the free throw line. That didn't work out very good. but I had fun with it, man. I loved just playing all sports. Like in the summer, my parents would just send me to sports camp. Like I actually went to like a Cal sports camp when I was probably like 10 or 11. And like I played lacrosse for the first time and, you know, soccer, all these weird sports. And I was just like, just anything, any games, I like playing it. And yeah, baseball was always my passion though. So I played baseball, you know, starting at 4 with T-ball. I went all the way up. You know, I was born in 87, graduated high school in 05. So travel ball wasn't huge. It was, you know, kind of at the early stages. So I started playing travel ball when I was like 16, did that for like 2 years. And, you know, through playing travel ball and playing against some of the best people across the country, I got to play on the junior national team as like a 17 and 18 year old. And I think through that, I got some more exposure and ended up getting a scholarship to go to Cal. And then, yeah, 3 years at Cal and then got drafted by the A's in the second round.
So were you drafted out of high school?
I wasn't. I got a little bit of looks, but I think my parents just told scouts, like, hey, he's going to go to college. We know the value of a good education. You know, my dad went to USC. My mom went to Cal. And they're both in the medical profession. So. You know, I think they knew the value of an education, and I was just a kid, man. I didn't know anything, so probably best I stayed in school for 3 years, matured a little bit, and you know, then got after it.
Yeah, man, and that's how is the transition like? You have two kids, you're doing the schooling, and you also find time. You're throwing, you're working out, you're staying in shape. How's that been going?
Man, it's interesting. It's I have a different understanding of the value of time now. I'll say that, you know, because looking back, like COVID hit 2020, I had nothing but time, and I was like, shit, what do I do now? Like, I just, you know, I found things to do. Now it's like, okay, like how do I find time? And you know, it's been good. I've had to be disciplined. You know, I wake up early. I've started a new routine. I get outside, get some sunlight first thing in the morning, start my workouts. So I work out before school, eat breakfast with the family, get loaded up, commute over to campus, have classes 5 days a week. A few days after, I go work out with the baseball team, get my baseball field work in, do some sprints, commute back home, family time, homework, you know, meal prep, all that kind of stuff. So it's been good. It's got me on my P's and Q's, and I'm excited to, you know, hopefully get opportunity here at the end of May to throw for some scouts and get signed. And, you know, if I can get back to just focusing on baseball, that'll be awesome. Cause it'll be, that much easier to just focus on one thing versus, you know, juggling everything I got going on right now.
So you're saying it's easier to be a baseball player than it is to be a dad and a student?
Yeah, there's a little bit more time in the day when all you're focusing on is baseball. Yeah. So you got the safe haven of being at the stadium all day.
Oh, I'm sure, man. I have your high school batting average, your junior year up right now. All right. I'm going to let you guess ballpark-wise what you think it was.
Man, I was probably like 3-something, 300.
Close, 366, which I guess in high school terms is like equivalent to like 250. I don't know if that's that
good. It wasn't anything special.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't 600 like D-Mac.
But do you have any hits in the big leagues? Did you hit?
As a pitcher? Yeah, I got some knocks.
Do you? Who was your first hit off of?
First and last is against Clayton Kershaw.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's a famer. That's all you need. I'd ended right there.
Yeah. I don't think I'll get a chance to swing it even if I get back into the league anyways.
So what do you guys think of the perfect game, 7 innings, only threw 80 pitches, and then they yanked him? It's kind of gotten
tough. It's tough. I mean, I think that's the one thing he probably hasn't done in his career, right? He's got a no-hitter. He's got a million strikeouts, ton of wins, but yeah, he doesn't have the perfect game. But I mean, it's the bigger picture too. You know, like is he out there to win a World Series, or is he trying to chase personal accolades? And I know Clayton, he doesn't care about that stuff. But yeah, it's just one of those funny things where perfect games don't come around too often. I was fortunate to see one in 2010 with Dallas Braden, and you know, they're special, but I think in the big picture of things, you know, Clayton's had some injuries, and it's April, man. That's his second start of the year. You don't want to blow him out chasing a goal that ultimately is just, you know, another feather in his cap that's already, you know, overblown with feathers.
Oh yeah, a legacy that's already sealed.
Yeah.
80 pitches though? Like, yeah, like, can
that's
we
what
go
I'm saying.
Five more pitches, or can we just like maybe see like, I mean, I see what you're saying. It's first game. It was first start, right?
Yeah. First or second, something like that, yeah.
You know, I get it. And it's early in the season, and it's a marathon. But, like, I mean, 10 more pitches? It's like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I hear you.
The baseball guys are sorted out.
I mean, I just assumed after they yanked him that he was, like, well over 100. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But then I saw 80 pitches. I'm like, at least let him start the eighth and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. That's why I'm glad I'm not a manager, man. Everything you do, guess.
Right. And it was a short spring training. Guys are ramping up. There's, you know, there's arguments on both sides. I wonder if it was kind of pre-planned though. Like, okay, you're gonna go this many pitches, and you're coming out, or was it like, let's see how you feel, or you know. Was it a conversation, or did you just say you're out? What do you think?
Man, I could see it being like, hey man, you got 90 pitches or seven ups or whatever. You know what I mean? Because I know as a starting pitcher, that's the thing that gets you more. It's not exactly a pitch count, but it's just sit down, get up and pitch. Sit down, get up and pitch. I mean, that's what's the tough part about spring training is extending those up and downs. And so maybe it was something like that. I didn't really track their spring training too much to see, you know, how many innings guys were throwing in preparation before the season started. But that could be what it is, you know.
I would be interested to hear if they had a full spring training and a normal training regimen to start, if he would have been let off his leash a little bit more.
We'll never know. I mean, and I think what a lot of baseball fans probably see is, you know, these guys – just like the premeditated, you're coming out, right? There's no like feel, like, you know, how do you feel? Was it high leverage? Was it? And I didn't watch the game, so you know, it probably wasn't high leverage. You had a perfect game, right, Tyson? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it either, but yeah, perfect game through seven, right?
Yeah, right. So I mean, no one was on base. Wasn't like he was, you know, pitching out of jams, but. As a manager, like, you know, your players better than anyone. And hopefully, like, it wasn't something like coming, like just from the top, like you're coming out, like you don't have a choice. There was no conversation about it. Clayton Kershaw is a veteran, right? Like this guy knows his body.
He'll probably throw one in the next couple months anyways. Everybody will forget about it. Seems like that's the type of thing he would do anyways. 13 strikeouts though, too. It's just like he was mowing them down. Like there was like no doubt in a lot of people's minds that he could have gotten it done. I think that's why some fans are pissed about it, but whatever. I'm glad we get to do this this morning. I don't think, I remember the last time I woke up at 7 a.m. for a podcast, I'll be honest.
Right? Like only, this is only with Tyson. This is something that did it. I think Tyson's the only person I would do a podcast this early for. Just no end, because I'm just thankful, like you said, man, I'm my time, right? And he understands how valuable his time is. So we really appreciate him joining us. And I know, where are you at right now, Tyson?
Palm Springs for the time being.
Guys, there's a Palm Springs. I know, isn't Coachella going on right now out there?
It is this weekend, yeah.
Are you checking out any Coachella?
Yeah, I might check out some music. I got the family with me too, so you know we got like a little, where's it at? We got a little Papa Shot action over here. Pool table. We drove like 8 hours last night. Jordan got in and started playing basketball at 10 o'clock at night. So, yeah, we got a little fun house situation. It'll be fun.
That sounds like a blast. What's the lineup for Coachella?
Oh man, let me think. I know Kanye was supposed to headline, he dropped out, but there's a whole bunch of, it's like, I don't know, 50 artists or something crazy.
Let's see.
I'll pick and choose a few people I want to see and then kick it with the family.
Oh, I'm sure, man. Let's see. Harry Styles, Billie Eilish. I guess that's a good one. The Weeknd. So it's going to be a pop scene this weekend for sure.
I got a little bit of everything.
The Weeknd.
I'll check out The Weeknd. I'm a fan of The Weeknd. His last album, I'm still filling that out. But do you like music? I love music. What's the last concert you guys been to?
Oh, it's been a minute because of COVID, but I went to a Revolution concert in spring training. Gosh, I guess that was like 20. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Bro, I've been chilling. I've been at the house taking school.
This guy's had, he's been, yeah, school, kids.
It's a long time though. My last show was the Foo Fighters about a month ago, which evidently might be the last Foo Fighter concert ever because the drummer died.
Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy. What happened?
He had like 10 different substances in his system when they found him. And I think he was an ex-drug addict. So they didn't come out with a lot of stuff, but like people can assume what happened. But it was tragic. Right. He was only like 49, 50 years old.
You got to see the last concert he played, I'm assuming.
Yep. I mean, at least the last one in the States, because I knew that they were going to go to like Lollapalooza overseas in like Colombia or something. But yeah, they were my favorite band of all time. That one was a bummer. I got all my vinyl. I got Foo Fighters, Hootie and the Blowfish, Pearl Jam. Another Pearl Jam, another Foo Fighters, but like I grew up listening, like my dad just played like 90s rock nonstop. That's all I listened to.
I can't. Pearl Jam's coming to Colorado this year. Pearl Jam, Chili Peppers. We're talking about Hall of Famers. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to checking out some concerts this summer. Tyson, you were talking about your time earlier, right? And you're talking about how you manage your time. Like, how did you learn to do that, man? Because I know that's a skill that I'm still navigating through. So how did you learn to do that?
Man, it's just survival at this point. I think, as we worked together, we did our meditation at, 6:30 for about 6 months every day. And I found out, like, hey, there's 24 hours in a day, but you can always get up earlier. And that's something I've realized, like, if I want to get something done for me, if it's something important, I just wake up earlier, schedule it earlier. If someone doesn't want to get on a call early, that's cool. But, you know, I'm like, hey, I got this window of time available. And if you guys are ready to go, let's do it. So, yeah, I think, you can be a little bit more disciplined, go to bed a little bit earlier, wake up early and get it in. So that's just how I see things.
So everyone should see things, really.
It's not easy to do though.
I mean, especially when you get back to it and you sign with a team, you're going to have so much stuff on your plate. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, you have to have that mindset.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
During the season, right? It's like, man, it's crazy. I think my body just stuck on baseball schedule. I think my whole life, it's a baseball for life schedule where, you know, I'm a night owl. I'm learning as the older I get, I enjoy and I appreciate and I love the mornings a lot more. But still, like, that for me, I feel like my creative side and kicks in at night. So I know it probably has a lot to do with playing baseball all my life.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we're creatures at the night during the season for sure. I always found, though, I felt like a big piece of garbage when I just sat, you know, slept in and just waited for the bus at 2 before leaving the hotel room. You know, when I started later in my career, I started getting up, going to get coffee, walking around a little bit, get my body moving. I started feeling a lot better, you know, just forcing yourself out of bed, you know, doing something outside. I think getting outside is such a big thing. We're indoors way too much.
Best thing I ever did, man. That was the best thing. And I think I started doing that like in 05 when I was playing for Durham. But get up, eat breakfast. Some days go to the gym. If I didn't go to the gym, just getting up, eating breakfast, getting outside, walking around, checking out the city. I really feel like that was a turning point in my career when I started doing that.
So yeah. What do you, you know, kind of just to talk about Loyal to My Soil a little bit, how do you utilize like kind of those experiences that you've had and instill them in the kids that you work with? And how did you go about starting it too? Like, was it just because like you said, like you grew up going to camps as well. And then obviously you've played for many, many years now. What was kind of the inspiration behind it? And like, what do you teach these young kids? Like things that you learned that you like and some things that you didn't like that you don't really utilize and teach them?
So the Loyal to My Soil program is kind of dreamt up during COVID. You know, being in California during 2020, we had like super hardcore shelter in place, you know, basically just stay at home, go get your food and come back to the house. So I had a lot of time on my hands to think. And, you know, I was looking for ways to get involved in the community while I was at home. And I connected with someone, his name's Robert Marcus over at Coaching Corps. And basically, you know, he brought to my attention that the need for youth sports coaches at the other side of the pandemic is going to be huge because of budget cuts and all sorts of things. And so it kind of flipped a switch on in my mind of thinking like, hey man, this COVID thing sucks for all us adults, but I know it's going to be even worse for the kids. You know, they're missing out on all these valuable times of, you know, playing games, social skills, things like that. So, you know, I thought like, what can I do personally to make an impact in the community for the youth? And obviously I was going to go through the vein of baseball, and that's kind of how I came up with the plan for Loyal to My Soil. You know, I live out in the suburbs. I see kids, you know, all the parks are open. There's people out there practicing, even though you're not supposed to. And I was like, okay, like the kids in the inner city are already behind on baseball. And now this COVID thing shut down everything on their side of the tunnel. But out here, you know, things are continuing on as normal. So there's going to be an even wider gap, you know, between the two groups of people. So I said, hey man, what if I just put on some free camps, remove that cost of entry barrier that kind of keeps people out of baseball, and just do something with my network in baseball and just put it on for the kids. And I mean, that's how it went. At that time, DMAC and I were doing our meditation daily. So we were in contact a bunch. You know, we had this huge vision for a camp. We were going to have him come out, do some mental skills stuff. Unfortunately, another wave of COVID came and it complicated things, and we had to shift and pivot. But, you know, after a few months of planning, I was able to put on the first Loyal to My Soil camp at a private facility in Emeryville that my buddy owns. You know, we were worried about cops driving by every time because, you know, we weren't supposed to have that many people out there, but I knew how important it was to the community. So basically what I did is I got a bunch of current former pros together. You know, we had myself, my brother, Vita Blue, Shooty Babbitt, Bip Roberts out there. And basically we're just passing on our knowledge to the next generation. You know, we have a lot of valuable on-field knowledge. Plus, you know, I think as a kid, you never get a chance to learn from big leaguers. You never get a chance to learn from big leaguers that look like you, especially when you come from a city like Oakland. And it's easy to forget that there's that much talent that comes out of the Bay that, you know, people of your skin tone have done great things in the game of baseball. And, you know, I wanted to kind of intermesh the two generations of, you know, current players and then, you know, the youth coming up and just kind of inspire them and give them something to strive for and say, hey, man, this path, you're not walking it alone. It's been walked many times before you. And, you know, here's some of the knowledge to help me get there.
That's interesting. Were you guys coached by anybody like relatively close to being, you know, associated with Major League Baseball growing up, like anybody that played beforehand, or was it just random like dads and guys who kind of played at like somewhat of a respective level? But did you guys actually get mentored by guys who played in the pros growing up?
No, I didn't have any contact. I wish I did. You know, I think the closest I came was Ricky Henderson was watching a game at the Little League when I was probably like 12. I turned around and Ricky was, you know, three rows back in the bleachers just watching a ball game. And he actually grew up playing on the same fields that, or I grew up playing on the same field that he played on. So he has that local tie to the community. And that was enough of a spark for me, just seeing him in person, you know, out at a ball game, knowing that he played right down the street. And then, you know, I had like one other brief instance where I think Jimmy Rollins was hitting in the batting cages late at night in the off season with his dad and his brother. And I was, you know, I was hitting with my dad. We used to go to the cages all the time. And I heard this sound is just different. And I was like, what is that? So we went down to the end tunnel and his dad was, you know, just throwing a BP and he's hitting rockets. And that, you know, just seeing someone from the Bay, because, you know, growing up, I've followed Jimmy. I followed CC. I followed Dontrell. And I was like, hey, man, if those guys can do it, I might have a chance. And so I wanted kids to have that same experience, except they had that one-on-one personal experience with us as coaches out at that Loyal to My Soil camp. And that's why we do it, man. Cause it's just like, you got to inspire the kids and, you know, they know who Marcus Semien is on TV, but if they have the chance to learn out at shortstop, how to flip to, how to turn to or do something in person, that's just going to be that much more of a real engagement with them and really inspire them.
Have you like gotten any, obviously you've gotten feedback on it, but like, have there been any like specific people that have entered the program? Like you talk about, obviously the biggest reward here is getting to help all of these individuals, all these young athletes, but has there been any specific individual people that have entered the camp that have really like wowed you and have really grown since you guys have kind of been mentoring them loosely?
We've had some talented players. I know there's a kid, Nico Taylor, that was at the initial camp. I think he was in eighth grade at the time, and he's since, you know, he's already been talented, but he's a hard worker. I've seen the way that he takes his craft seriously. And I think in the last couple of months here, he actually committed to go play at Cal Berkeley, you know, where I played. So I was excited for him. It's a unique opportunity to play some high level baseball and stay at home in the Bay Area. You know, so many people get up and leave and go to Arizona State or Florida State, you know, go to the big name schools. But it's like you have an opportunity to stay at home and play some really good baseball and still be around your family and friends. And, you know, I think hopefully that becomes the goal for people in the community, right? Because you can get a really good education and play some high level baseball and you can inspire the next generation. You know, if I would have picked up and gone and played at Oklahoma, nobody would have known anything about me. And, you know, there's kind of been, you know, a trickle down effect of black ball players going to Cal. It's starting to pick up some steam here, and hopefully, you know, for guys in the Bay Area, that becomes the goal. Like, hey, man, I can play ball and I'm going to go to Cal and do it. There's been a few ball players that come through there that have been pretty talented. And, you know, I'd love for that to be the end goal for these kids, because you get a really good education and, you know, it's a good launching pad to get into the pros too, if that's your ultimate goal.
Oh, I believe it, man. I believe that. And Darnell and I have kind of like talked about, you know, some kids, some families, just some programs. You know, it's not like what it was when you guys were playing, where like you guys, I know, enjoyed the experience growing up, where like some kids these days are going through the ringer of like having to perform for scouts, putting that kind of pressure on themselves. Even at that age with the camp, like, are there any like parents that you've had to deal with, any kids with, you know, little egos, and anything that is just like something that you didn't have to experience growing up, but things that you see that you kind of try to say, like, pull them aside, be like you can do this in a such more efficient and fun way that's not only going to make you better, but you're going to enjoy yourself and your teammates a lot more.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a different generation for sure. I think mostly because of this, like we're all connected at all times, you know, the goal of baseball now is to get seen and get ranked high. It's not about going and developing as a player and getting better every day. And I think that's gotta be the mindset that you take when you're working with kids. It's like, hey, we're doing this here and right now to get you better tomorrow. So you can do this here and right now tomorrow to get better for the next day. And once you can kind of shift that mindset to be more process oriented, you know, kids will be better in the long run. I think it's, you know, everyone's like, hey man, I'm the third best Californian shortstop. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. You got to play everyone in the country at all age groups. And when it comes down to it, and yeah, man, like, I think these kids now, it's just all about rankings and who's committed where. Is like a 15-year-old, 16-year-old. It's just a little backwards, but I think there's going to be plenty of kids that if they have the right mindset of like, I'm just going to get better every day and see how good I can get. You know, ultimately, those are going to be the guys that find success.
Darnell, do you, I mean, obviously, you know, working with kids as well on your side, like, have you seen anybody specifically, you know, growing up? Because we've talked about it many, many times, like kids that just don't really have the same mindset that you guys had back in the day when it was just like literally not even to like make it to the next level, but just enjoying yourself playing the game.
And yeah, it's tough. Like Tyson said, you know, we showed the phone and like we didn't have social media. We didn't have phones. We didn't have the Instagram. And now, you know, now I'm starting to feel old just saying this. Like, yeah, we didn't have this stuff. So a lot of the stuff like we were just doing it for love. Straight love, you know. I know, you know, when Tyson was talking about Jimmy Rollins hitting in the cage with his dad, man, it just brought back memories for me. Like my dad had this red bag of balls that he kept in his trunk, right? And we could just be driving anywhere and we'd pull over. Are we gonna hit some balls? I remember it'd be like Friday night, everyone else is out partying, we're hitting in the cage. You know, there was times that I was pissed, like, damn, I want to do this. And I look back now and I'm like, thank you. I really appreciate that. And my pops, he instilled like that hard work, right? Like work. So, you know, it's these kids, they have a lot of pressure on them from all different angles, school, phones, when you're in high school, college, like this time, like, you know, you're trying to fit in, you're trying to find yourself, trying to find out who you are. But, you know, I have a lot of hope also. There's, you know, these kids are so skilled nowadays, and these kids are, I mean, way more developed than we were physically. And there's some ballers out there. There's some really, 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 really good players. And so, yeah, man, I think that the future is bright for the game. But as a whole, as a majority, what's going on and what Tyson said about the process, like a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is outcome-based, right? Showcases are outcome-based. So when we get back to just that process and because the process is where, you know, there's no fear in the process because you're in the moment. There's no fear in that. There's no anxiety there. There's just the process, you know, and all this stuff is practice, right? Like I didn't practice any mental skills when I was coming up through high school. My mental skills was, you know, like I said, that school of the hard knocks and just a lot of failure.
What would you guys say out of curiosity was like the most pressure driven moment in both of your careers where you kind of had to take a step back and kind of utilize some of these skills? Because like Darnell, you said, like it wasn't towards the end of your career when the Cubs kind of offered you that position where you're like, yeah, let's try it out. But like, I'm interested to hear like what you guys kind of experienced peer pressure wise, whether it be a big situation or a big playoff game or just like trying to compete at a level that made you guys stand out a little bit more? Like what was the biggest pressure moment in each of your careers?
Personally, I think for me, I had a unique case because I got to the big leagues super fast. I think I played one full season in the minor leagues before I made my debut. And I was like 22, 23 playing at home in Oakland. No mental skills training at all. Just pure stuff. You know, like they were like, hey man, you got a good slider and you throw hard. You're in the bullpen. I'd never been a reliever in my life. I think I had one or two relief appearances prior to that. So I had no routine. I'm facing the best players in the world. I'm trying to figure it out and I'm just trying to tread water and I'm drowning, you know? So I struggled early in my career at that big league level, and I had to find a way to turn things around and succeed. I had to learn, you know, all the ways I failed were ways that didn't work, and I had to find an alternate route to find success. So I think those early days in the big leagues of trying to figure out what works for me, what my routine is, that was probably the biggest pressure. And then I figured it out for a couple of years, ended up getting hurt. And then that pressure of trying to come back from injury, you know, all the self-doubt, all the thoughts of like, hey man, this, my arm doesn't work anymore. I don't have what I used to have, that special skill to throw a baseball. And I literally had to teach myself how to throw again for an entire off season after the 2017 season, going into 18 to find success again. And that was a tough time too, man, because, you know, it's just a grind. Like 2016, I was injured all year trying to figure out how to get healthy. I had a surgery. You know, you think, hey, I went under the knife, I should be good. You come back and you fall flat on your face again. And you're like, okay, shit, am I done? Or am I gonna find another way through this, around this, over it, under it, whatever it may be? And I just, you know, like DMAC had a red bag of balls. I just had a bucket of balls at a facility and just threw and threw and threw and taught myself how to throw again, and came back in 18 and had a little decent year. So I'd say those are the two most pressure times in my career.
That's a lot of pressure for a young kid.
Man, it's tough, but it's like, you know, it's your swim, man. It's the dream that you've dreamt about living your whole life. And, you know, what are you going to do when you get there? You know what I mean? Like some people get their cup of coffee and they love telling their story about their three innings, or, you know, and hey, not everyone makes it to the big leagues. But I think for me, the biggest thing was, you know, I know my time in this game is limited and it might be up now. I don't even know. But, you know, there was a moment in my life where I realized, like, at the end of this, like, baseball is going to be done and I'm going to have to look myself in the mirror every day and know, you know, like, I could either know I put everything I had into it and I got out of it what I got out of it, or I could have a life, you know, after baseball full of regrets, where every time I look in the mirror, you got to look away and be like, damn, man, I wish I would have, you know, stayed home and hit with my dad instead of going out and partying. Or I wish I would have worked harder and really found a way to overcome that injury or overcome those struggles I had. And I mean, that's the mindset I kind of take into it. It's like, hey, man, for the next 40 years of my life, I'm going to be able to look myself in the mirror and be like, I put everything I had into this, and I appreciate every moment of the game that I got out of it.
Yeah, because you're not going to regret putting in the work, not, you know, horsing around, going out, partying late at night, and, you know, hanging out with your friends. Like, it's tempting, but, like, when you have, like, a specific goal in mind, like you guys did, like, you guys were driven, you were disciplined, you were focused on getting to that next level, accomplishing that next goal. And, like, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, at least you could say you tried. Like, you wouldn't have any regrets.
Exactly.
What about you? There really
wasn't even a plan B for me. You know what I'm saying? It was like, there's one plan. And there's two times in my career where I felt pressure. Okay. And the first one was, I came in a game during the steroid era, okay? And being a first round draft pick, having a lot of expectations on you, and you start seeing all these guys passing you up, right? And so the best thing that happened to me, so I fell into this trap, man. I took these steroids, and the best thing that happened to me is I got caught, man. And the lesson I learned, like, hard work. There's no, back to that red bag of balls. There's no substitute for hard work. And I'll never forget, like, when that happened, how I felt, you know, because, like, my dad and the people that put in a lot of work for me to get to where I was, and I really felt I let them down. And that's the that's one of the times that I felt pressure, man. Because obviously you sign, like, you want to play in the big leagues, right? It's all the big leagues. And coming through during that time, it was like I felt like I had no choice, I had no options. The other time that I felt pressure was when my first daughter was born. I got released. Literally, I think like a week after she was born, I'm like, all right. You know, at that time, I thought about going back to college, like legitimately thought about going back. I still had eligibility to play football. But they didn't have any NIL deals back then, right? They weren't paying you to go to college back then. Like I said, I just had my first daughter. So it was an option, but it wasn't really an option for me. And that's, you know, I remember watching Cinderella Man, and they're asking him, what are you fighting for? And he said, milk. And I was like, man, that inspired me so much. I started writing milk on my bat. And that's what I was playing for. That's what I was getting my foot down for, milk, feed my family. And it was another turning point in my career, right? I was playing for something bigger than myself. And those were the only two times I felt pressure. Other than that, like from the game and all, like playing, it was never pressure. It was always really fun, right? But those two times that I think back, and that was pressure for me.
It's funny, man. You said it's funny the impact movies have on us, right? You're talking about Cinderella Man. Earlier you said, you know, I had no plan B. Like one of my favorite scenes, all-time favorite scenes in a movie is from Dark Knight Rises, when he's escaping from the prison, from the cave, and he's got the rope tied around him and he's trying to climb out, and he fails and he fails and he fails. And, you know, they're like, you got to cut the rope, man. You can't plan to fail. And as soon as he cuts that rope, and it's life or death, he's able to jump, climb up that, out of that hole, and escape to freedom and get back to Gotham. And it's like, sometimes you got to say, man, it's all in or nothing. You just go for it.
Cut the rope.
Yeah.
Cut the rope. I love that.
God, those are really two like insanely peer pressure moments. Because again, like playing in an era where like the pressure's on to perform at like the highest level and being kind of pressured into, you know, like this is going to help me, but in the short term hurt you. And then on top of that, like having the responsibility of being fathers too, and like not being able to provide right away, like that must have been a stingy feeling. Cause like I can't relate at all. 23-year-old kid completely unattached, but I'm sure having your first child, guys, like completely changes your life. I just got to assume.
Well, hopefully I didn't scare you, right? Cause it was the biggest blessing in my life. It turned like life instantly. Turned like a new chapter, and it's like that's when life began, when that happened. That's when, like I said, it was everything. Is when you're doing stuff that is bigger than you, like loyal to my soil, it's you find your purpose, right? That's what it is. You find purpose, and that purpose gives you a reason to get up in the morning, right? There's nothing worse than getting up and having no purpose. So I know you're 23, just, you got time, man. Time is on your side. Enjoy your concerts right now. You know what I'm saying? Man. Do what you're doing.
That's so funny that Tyson hasn't been to a concert since he was, or what, like 2 years, he said?
2 years, man, yeah.
He's getting ready. Check out some concerts. Maybe there's some of the best concerts there is. I've been Coachella has always been on my list, right? But I've always been playing baseball, involved in baseball. So like even like stuff, Easter and, you know, these holidays, like when you're not playing baseball, you're like, man, what is that? Like I've never celebrated anything. We were playing baseball all our lives, or at least I was.
Same here, bro. First opportunity in 13 years. And you know, I'm skipping class today, but it's all right. I can zoom in later.
I didn't know you're supposed to be in class, man. We meant to call you out, dog.
No, you're good. You're good. I've been pretty diligent. I really haven't missed much this year, but yeah, I mean, I've got a little bit of open time. It just kind of the stars aligned, and it really isn't messing with my training or anything. So, yeah, sometimes you got to seize the moment, go do something a little bit of fun. But I still have, you know, I got my gym bag with me. As soon as we're done here, I'm gonna get out in this backyard and do my workout, and you know, keep pushing, keep moving forward for that ultimate goal. But you know, it's nice to be able to enjoy some things when you have a little bit of time.
So would you compare, like, you obviously trying to get back into the thick of things right now, there's a little pressure there probably for you. And at the same time, like, selfishly a little bit, like, the goal is to get back to that level where you're performing at a high level for a major league team and trying to help a team win a World Series. But at the same time, like we talked about, like you guys being able to have the impact to help, you know, children, whether it be in the local areas or all around the world, all around the globe, really. Like, what do you find more satisfying? Like, those personal goals, obviously, growing up, playing ball, having those experiences compared to now, being dads, being able to help not only your kids, but kids in the area as well. I'm kind of interested to hear, like, what's more gratifying for the both of you? Because obviously they're two completely different things.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated answer, because the selfish goals of me pursuing playing at that highest level allow me the access, allow me the platform to make a bigger splash back at home. You know, had I just gone to Cal and played baseball there and been doing camps and working in the community, people would have liked it. But because I've gone on to the major leagues, had the success I had there, played for the teams I played for, you know, when I come back home, I'm able to make a bigger impact. And if I'm able to make a comeback now, and people are like, hey, man, I've seen Tyson out here at these camps the last 2 years, and now look, he's back on TV. That'll just be, you know, extra inspiration for people. I think one of the cooler things about Loyal to My Soil is, like you were asking about, kids that it's made an impact in, and it's actually made a huge splash in the career of a couple coaches. We had a couple guys that were done, had hung them up. And after the first or second camp, we're like inspired. I'm like, hey, man, that just sparked my love for the game again. Like a guy like BJ Boyd was out of baseball. He was actually at like College of San Mateo playing football, doing like DMAC. He was, you know, he found some adversity. He went back. He's like, hey, I'm a freak athlete. I'm going to go play football, try and get this D1 scholarship, make my way to the league that way. And he, you know, after I think he was probably out of baseball for 2-3 years, went back, got signed by the Twins, got up to AAA last year. Now he's down in Mexico, he's feeding his family. He's providing that milk. And yeah, man, it's cool to see just the inspiration that comes from working in the community and just getting that spark, that love of the game going in people again. And, you know, it's been really cool to see what BJ Boyd's done over the last like year and a half, 2 years.
I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about having the drive to make it back to inspire some of these kids, because it's probably a completely different drive for you than it was 10, 15 years ago of trying to accomplish those goals for you. Now you're trying to not only get back there for you, provide for your family, but at the same time, you're doing it to inspire all of these people that you've helped along the way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's cool to see. I know you're young, but it'll be cool to see when you find your passion, and I can see it's with the microphone, but you have the ability to reach and impact a lot of people and change lives on a daily basis. When you find, you know, things will align for you. When you find that passion and you find a way to take what you do well and mix it with who you want to help impact, you know, it's cool. Everything kind of just lines up and it becomes, it's not easy, but it's easy to get out of bed and say, this is what I'm working for today because I can make an impact.
I hope Jack, so.
Yeah, no hope. You know, you've been on me with the podcast. If it wasn't for you, we probably, you know, we wouldn't be here now. And I keep telling you how natural it is for you and watching your growth, man. I'm like, this dude is that Mike and just in front of you. It's like, it's meant to be in front of you. But back to like that purpose and service, like the best thing. So in high school or the younger, you know, amateur level, all the kids, they call you coach, right? Hey, coach. You doing coach? Thanks, coach. And I'm like, there's no better feeling than that right there, coach. And I love it. And I want to smile every time I hear a kid say, hey, coach. How you doing, coach? So, yeah, it definitely feels better than any home run or anything like that, you know, I've accomplished on the field, man. And so I'm having a lot of fun being coached.
Even at the, like, the youth level, obviously it's very fulfilling for you guys. I could just hear it in the tone of your voices throughout this episode. But like, what would you say was the most, I mean, you don't have to name names if you don't want to, but like, as a teammate, younger guys that you guys have played with, because Darnell, obviously you got into the mental skill side of it with the Cubs towards the latter stages of your career. Tyson, you know, bouncing around from a few different organizations, like, who were some of the younger talents that you guys saw like a lot of potential in character wise that still had a lot of developing to do mentally?
Everybody. That's the beauty of the game, man, is your talent outshines your mental capacities early on in your career, and it gets scary once the mental side catches up for the guys that have the talent. You know, I'm gonna flip it and just say, when I was in St. Louis, I got a chance to play with Yachty and Wainwright. And, you know, their physical talent isn't what it used to be, but their mental skills are off the charts so high that, you know, they're both pushing 40 and competing, you know, opening day starter at Wainwright's age, Yachty back behind the dish, catching every single day, throwing guys out like he's 20 years old. It's because of this. It's not because of the physical age of their bodies and, you know, where their physical skills are. So, I mean, there's plenty of young guys I've played with that have that physical talent and need to grow the mental side, but it's scary when they do, because then, you know, their game gets elevated to a different level, and it's freakish to watch.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I'm glad you said everybody, because like, shit, especially if you go come out of high school, like, man, you don't know what you're doing. Like, how do you know how to do something if you've never done it? Like, it took me so many years to learn how to be a pro. Like, what does that mean to be a pro? And understanding, like, this is your business, this is your job. Like, if you're a stockbroker, you wake up, what do? You look at stocks. You talked about, yeah, I have my bag ready to go after I do this to get my work in, right? And you have this routines and, you know, all that type of stuff. And it took me a long time to develop that. You see, you know, there's guys that come out of college nowadays that have a foundation in the mental side, routines. And I love seeing that. I remember being, when I was working with the Cubs, and, you know, we talked about changing the culture. And, you know, if you haven't done something in 108 years, like, how do you do something that hasn't been done in 108 years? Right? You got to find people that obviously think different, like, think something that hasn't happened in 108 years can happen. And so I remember when we drafted Kyle Schorber, and teams were like, man, what the hell are they doing? They shouldn't have taken him that high. Not going to be a catcher, all this stuff, you know, they're saying, and not understanding, like we wanted this guy for the intangible things that he brought to the team to change this culture. Right. And guy's a baseball rat, right? He loves baseball, loves baseball. And so obviously, you know, he was a big part of doing that. Short story. So he loved baseball so much that year the Cubs won the World Series. He didn't play the whole season. He blew his knee out. First series of the year in Arizona, blew his knee out. Rehab the whole season. Get to the World Series, gets cleared. You know, I remember being in Arizona watching this guy have people feed him buckets of baseballs. He couldn't even swing. He just wanted to watch pitches. Turn it up on the fastest pitch you can turn it up on, sliders. Anyway, he game fly out, World Series, first at bat, double off the wall. Okay. I'm still mad it didn't go out of the yard. But then that bottom of the or top of the 10th, he's the one to help start that rally, gets a base hit, gets the first base, timeout, pinch runner, enter Albert Armora. But those are the behind the things scenes that people don't realize, right? Like, yeah. And that was the same guy that were like, why did they draft this guy? I think 13 overall, he could have gotten him later. This is why, for that right there.
That's one of the more inspirational stories I've seen, like, just watching it along. Like, you guys, obviously, I mean, you, Darnell, worked with him, you know, like, you you never know like when the opportunity is going to come. And for him to blow out his knee the first week, the first series of that season in 2016, to be able to come back and kind of like take things in, like, okay, like my moment's going to come eventually. Like, you don't think it's going to come in the biggest series in Chicago Cubs history. Like, that was the biggest World Series in the franchise's history, no doubt. And he's a key player in that 10th inning in Game 7, you know, when they pick up 2-3 runs, whatever it was, to clinch that World Series.
And Tyson mentioned, like, coming back from injury, I don't think people realize, like, what that does to you mentally, especially as a professional. When you're used to playing at a certain level, and then that's taken away from you, it takes a while to get back, like to build that confidence. Like, I can do this again. And it's like, he really didn't even have that time. Like, you're getting your first reps are going to be in the World Series. How about that? But that mental fortitude, like that DNA in his system, like those things that you can't measure. Like, there's no data for these things, right? These intangible things. And these are the things that I absolutely love, right? You can't measure this right here, that muscle in your chest. But yeah, let's go. I'm ready. And I'll never forget when he got cleared. Guy flew out on a jet right to Cleveland, strap it on. And just his presence in the dugout in a uniform, I know, lifted the team a lot.
Tyson, what's the over under on you pitching in a World Series game in 2022?
Oh man, that's a good question. I love nothing more than that. I don't do odds. I don't do betting, but I love nothing more than that.
If there was an organization, I know you've obviously chatted with a few teams, but like if there was an organization where you would think like this would be a perfect fit for me and my family, what would it be?
I would say either the Giants or the A's. I was actually in camp with the Giants in 20 when COVID hit and shut everything down. And, for me, I was super excited about that opportunity to, you know, not only play back at home in the Bay, but also, you know, there's just a really good organization. That spring training, I kind of saw, you know, I played against them for all their championship run years from, you know, 10, 12, and 14. From the outside looking in, I was like, I don't know what those guys are doing over there that's so special. But I kind of got a glimpse behind the curtain in 20, and I saw kind of how that organization was run. The people, you know, it's about people more than data. And I was excited to be a member of that organization. I think if I got a chance to get back in that orange and black and play in the Bay Area and kind of represent, that'd be, you know, best case scenario for me.
Do you guys have favorite ballparks? I'm going to assume that Fenway's up there for you, Darnell. Wrigley, I think, was my favorite just being there. Any like specific favorite ballparks to play in when it comes to like the confines? Like, you were just like felt more natural, felt more at home.
The two mounds I like the best are, as a road mound, it was Anaheim. I felt like the catcher was 3 feet away. It's a great feeling. And then San Diego, and I had some good years down there for the Padres. And I mean, there's something about knowing that you're going to go to the ballpark, it's going to be 70 degrees and sunny, and just that comfort level of pitching at sea level, man. I loved it down there at Petco.
What about you, D-Mac?
Petco. I'm just thinking about those. Man, I loved, you know, you named it, Fenway. I like that grimy, just backyard, just let's go type, little league. I like that type of, Fenway, Wrigley. And then I'm obviously biased to Coors Field. Wow, like, it's beautiful. I know as a pitcher, pitchers don't like it necessarily, but, I love the green, the trees. The first, I got a chance to sit in a rock pile a few days ago and had no idea like this view even existed to watch a game. Like, it's a totally different view, and I'm watching it from center field. You have the skyline, behind home plate. Like, whoever designed this, like, obviously knew what they're doing. And then you have where you sunset, sunrise, like you can see all this stuff from this rock pile. So that would be in my top three. It would be Fenway, Wrigley, and Coors.
I just realized that they have their scoreboard is like actually designed as a mountain. It took me a while to realize that in left field. Like the actual outline of the scoreboard is a mountain.
Yeah, I don't even think I realized that. So, yeah, so they have like the.
It's fairly new, right? Because the whole thing's a video board. It used to just be, it had that design, I think, and there's just like a square TV in it.
Right.
I think they upgraded it to the whole thing being a video board. It's sick. I love that stadium. The 4 out of 5 days. I don't like pitching there, but the other days, it's a beautiful place to watch a ball game, man.
Just taking it in when on your off day. It's great.
Yeah.
Just getting to take in a ball game. Everything that's hitting the air, you're like holding your breath, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you already missed class today, right? So we don't want to take too much of your time, man. But I appreciate you taking the time. I don't know about Darnell, but I definitely appreciate you taking the time today, Tyson, to come on and talk to us. I'm very eager to see where the organization, the camp's going to be a few years down the line. Because, again, like helping out these players, like seeing how disciplined and committed they are at a young age, it's going to be fun to see how many of these guys actually take it seriously at, you know, teenage age in high school and in college and eventually get to that next step. And you could say like, wow, 10, 15 years ago, like we started this for a reason. Like it all culminated and we validated the work that we put in when we started this in 2020, when nobody was even allowed to be out there in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's it'll be exciting to see what happens. And I think we just keep, you know, moving the needle and inspiring these kids on a daily basis. I think, you know, things are going to work out for us. But thanks for having me on, Jack. I appreciate you waking up early, getting this thing going here. And D-Mac, as always, thank you, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man. You have to let us know, you know, how your trip goes. Look forward to see. I can't wait to see you in that Giants uniform.
Yeah, that'd be sweet, man.
Pitching that Giants uniform. So, as always, man. And happy Jackie Robinson Day also. Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Jackie
Robinson Day. 42, man.
42. So it's fitting to have Tyson on here talking, you know, telling us what he's doing with Loyal to My Soil. I look forward to seeing that and, you know, hopefully getting a chance to be a part of that. No COVID. Get out there and you know, show that love to the kids. So keep up the good work, man. Thank you. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, just an FYI too. The Yankees rotation very lacking depth right now, Tyson. Just going to throw that out there.
any of the 30 teams to work, man.
You would slide in very nicely behind Gerrit Cole as a number two.
Okay.
Just going to throw that out there.